Welcome to the Research Culture Uncovered podcast, where in every episode we explore what is research culture and what should it be. You'll hear thoughts and opinions from a range of contributors to help you change research culture into what you want it to be.
Welcome to this latest episode of the Research Culture Uncovered podcast. My name is Jed Hall and I'm the Head of Research and Development at the University of Leeds. All of the episodes I contribute to the podcast focus on research impact, and I also do a special series that I call Research Impact Heroes. The links to those playlists are in the show notes. The last Research Impact Hero I interviewed was Dr. Tamika Hayden of the Research Impact Academy from Australia. The link to that episode I've particularly picked out in the show notes. And the reason for that is that I recorded that interview in late 2025, about 2 weeks after the first Impact Ignite conference that Tamika and her Research Impact Academy colleagues organised in November 2025 in Southampton. Now, this was probably the first dedicated Research Impact Professionals conference. I'm not kind of saying across the world, but, you know, probably, that wasn't just a special interest group of a wider set of things like ARMA in the UK and ARMS in Australasia. And it brought together people from the UK, mainland Europe, Canada, the Middle East and Australia. Now, Leeds nowadays has a large and vibrant community of research impact professionals, and a number of us were lucky enough to attend and present at Impact Ignite. So I thought I'd bring everybody together to get their reflections on the conference. And they are Andy Cameron, Faculty Impact Manager in Medicine Health. Andy, do you want to say hi?
Hi.
The next person was Anu Ekanayeka, Research Impact Innovation and Engagement Officer in Biological Sciences. Anu, do you want to say hi?
Hello, everyone.
The next person was Ali Quayle. I like Ali, he's got an easier name. And he's Faculty Research Impact Manager in the Business School. Ali, do you want to say hi?
Hi, Jed. Thanks for having me. Great to be involved in the conversation.
And then we have Alexa Ruppersberg, and Alexa is Head of Public Engagement with Research. Alexa, do you want to say hi?
Hello.
And finally, and I've done everybody in sort of alphabetical order. I don't know how I've managed to put Ruth somewhere at the end. I think I kind of flipped to your first name. We have Ruth Lawford-Rolfe, Research Impact Manager in the School of Earth and Environment and Sustainability. New name.
Hi, everyone.
Brilliant. So in preparation for this episode, I asked everybody to think about four sort of questions that we were going to cover about the conference. The first of which is their highlight from the conference. The second of which was, what have they learnt from attending? The third was, how would they like that global research impact community to develop? You know, that was one of the things that, as I said, Tamita wanted to kickstart. So I'd love to get people's views on that. And the fourth was, what's next for them in implementing what they've learnt? You know, you can't really get research impact professionals together and not try to find out what the impact an event they all attended could be. So, you know, you can't live the walk without that. So, looking at the highlights, who wants to go first? Ruth, as you were last, and you've got your hand in the air first. Let's come to you.
That's it. I thought since I was last, maybe I should go first. So my highlight from the conference was definitely the community. It was an excellent opportunity to expand my network and to reconnect with colleagues across the sector. For me, the conference really highlighted the impact community that we're all part of and the wide range of skills and expertise that is present within this community. So to me, this means that we're a group of professionals with something quite unique to offer, actually. We're collaborative, we're analytical, we connect people, we develop partnerships and relationships. We often bring deep knowledge of our discipline, but also a breadth in terms of our institutional knowledge as well. And we bring insights that help to shape research design and implementation. And through all this, we can drive forward and support meaningful change. So I think all of these skills were really evident across the wide range of sessions at the conference. I think as impact professionals, we come from a really diverse set of backgrounds. And even just between us here on this in this call, we represent a wide range of prior knowledge and expertise, all of which we bring to our day-to-day conversations with researchers. So it was great to see all of that on display across across the community at the conference.
Yeah, it was really one of the most, out of all the conferences I've been to over the long years of work. There was a real sense of lots of conversations happening around the sessions, probably more than any conference I've ever been to. So, Alexa, what was it like for you?
It's funny you say that, because that is actually sort of my point. My highlight was that of discussion, of reflection. Also, it was a day away from the office, and it allowed reflection on hearing others, hearing from people across the world, but also at the same time being able to present our work in that arena. So with public engagement, I felt a bit left field in that arena, but I think we should be there, and I was not disappointed. I think the presentation was well received, and this discussion, this reflection, really learning from it, and the absolute highlight for me was the opening panel, also the closing one, but it was very, very simple things they've done so well, which was that they allocated such a long time to questions. It was just a short part that was prepared with questions, but then the floor was opened up, and you know, we didn't disappoint. Ruth was completely right. There was so much expertise in the room. We had questions, and we wanted some reflections from the panel members on that as well.
Yeah, those panels really set the tone for the whole 2 days. It got people talking, and as you said, lots of questions, and people being able to kind of understand, oh, I don't know them over there, but that context sounds really interesting. Andy, what was yours? What was your highlight?
I think not to try and jump on the back of what other people have said. So it's very similar in terms of Ruth. It's been able to sort of meet other people outside of the university where we all work. And it's lovely to connect with the people that are in our university, but to know that the challenges that we face here are all very similar across the board, and how other people tackle those challenges, and how sometimes you can get a bit siloed in how I work sometimes. So it's good to be able to connect to other people and figure out how they approach things in a different way, maybe in different sized universities or completely different professions. I had some good talks with some people from the NIHR, which approach things in very different ways to obviously how a university needs to approach things. So it's very useful to get in touch with these people and sort of build lasting connections with them.
Yeah. For listeners outside of the UK, NIHR, Andy?
Well, it is the National Institute for Health Research. It's one of the main funders for health research in the UK.
Brilliant. Yeah. And it was, we didn't just have university people there, as you said, there were funders, but also charities and people from science museums and places like that as well. So it's quite a rich background. Anu, what was your highlight of the couple of days?
So for me, I still describe, I'm fairly new to the field in research impact and innovation. So this was my first conference of this kind. And I'm glad it was. I not only participated, but I also presented as well to share my practices. I found it very interesting. They had a board, a wall for writing what impact is. And somebody wrote there, impact is a multi-headed monster, and we are here to conquer it. I wouldn't want to call it a monster, but maybe sometimes it is. And yes, absolutely, we were there to conquer it. I mean, as you all mentioned, the talent that was in the room was remarkable. It's not just the experience, it's the knowledge and the different backgrounds. It actually shows how diverse our backgrounds are, therefore how the level of the skills that we are bringing to our institutions. So to see that in person and being my first conference of this kind for research professionals, it was amazing for me. In terms of sessions, I think for me, I really was inspired with the plenary sessions. I think 1A, where they shared innovative practices and strategies, and also the session 3A, where my talk was also in, Lessons for the Future, where everyone shared their practices and developments and experiments, and how generous it was to share all of this with us in such a limited time. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I didn't notice that multi-headed comment. But yeah, it reminds me of I often say in some training sessions, I think of to be an expert in and Tamika and I wrote a blog about this. To be an expert in impact is nonsensical because there are so many different types of skills that would need to be at an expert level. You know, when you look at the literature, you know, that Julie Bailey, who was on the first panel, has put together around what are the skills necessary for a research impact professional. There's, I think there's something like 80 odd different skills in 11 different domains. So you kind of go, I can't be brilliant at all of those, but I can be brilliant at some, lots maybe, but not all. Ali, what was your highlight?
Thanks, Jed. I think for me, I mean, I don't want to pick out any individual presentations. I don't think that would be fair, and no one else has done that, so I don't want to be the first. But I think it's worth highlighting that, you know, there were speakers from a number of different countries. It really was a global audience, and I was quite surprised at how global the audience really was. And I think that's testament to Tamika and the team and what she's built through the Research Impact Academy, that she was able to give people the confidence to come all the way to the UK to speak. I think more generally, just on the sort of the design of the conference itself, as Alexa mentioned, the length of the panels was, and particularly the questions, the length of questions for the panels was particularly good because it allowed genuine discussion. There's so many events I've been to where they only give the floor about, you know, one or two questions. And so you feel like you're being talked at rather than actually engaging in any meaningful discussion. Another potentially a minor point, but I think it was actually quite useful, was the length of the breaks, which gave people time to genuinely network. Again, often people don't have time to meet each other because the presentations are so sort of back to back. But I think the main thing, it really resonates with what everyone else has said, really, the sort of the word that I picked out was solidarity. And I think this, as has been highlighted, this is, for me, the first conference that was aimed specifically for impact professionals. And I, in the sort of a post-event reflection piece that I did on LinkedIn, I talked about throughout my career, I've attended lots of events, whereas in a previous life as a journalist, but now as an impact professional, I've always sort of felt on the periphery. However, being in an event about impact for impact professionals, it actually felt like, you know, it was a community coming together with a shared purpose to try and improve impact within universities. So it was really exciting for that reason, I think.
Yeah, I think in an interview Tamika had with Sarah McCluskey, who was also at the conference, on Sarah's podcast, The Research Adjacents, I think she described it as finding your tribe, and that was, it did feel like that, didn't it? It was very much, yes, we're all rooting for each other and supporting each other, and very collaborative, as you've all said. So kind of moving on to the next one, which is more kind of, okay, those were the highlights, that kind of sense of that buzz, that community. But what have we learned? You know, I come from a training background, so I'm kind of always interested in this question. What have we learned from attending those things? So who wants to go first? Ruth again. Well done.
Okay, so I guess some of my points lead on really from what people have said in the first section. I think, as Anu was saying, one of the real benefits of this conference was its focus on examining the practical steps that individuals and teams had taken to develop impact. So for me, that was where a lot of the real learning came from. It was about that shared practice and learning from the approaches of colleagues who, particularly those who were involved in institutional strategy development and partnership development, in a non-HEI or an international setting. It was really interesting to hear from those colleagues and see the similarities in the underlying drivers for change and those innovative approaches that had been developed, implemented, and the outcomes. I think, as Anu was saying, you know, that people were really generous in their reflections on those processes, and that was really powerful. From the panel discussions, I think, you know, that there's a huge amount of change in the environment at the moment. So there was some really useful discussion there about the effect of change on our working environment and also the advent of new technology. So the challenges and opportunities that come along with AI and how that might be being implemented in the impact space. So I think those are the key items for me in terms of learning.
Yeah, brilliant. Those couple of presentations, I've spent time talking to people from Plymouth Marine Lab, and also I've used materials from the UK Centre for Ecology and Hydrology, and you know, in some of my training sessions, and I'm really grateful that they've shared them and made them public. Anu, what about you? What did you learn?
I think Ruth pretty much summarized a lot of things. But I think personally, I saw and I learned a lot of practical ways to streamline how we approach research impact in our day-to-day practices and how to build strategies. I think I was really inspired, and I took some notes from Mariela Miranda's talk on how they develop a research impact strategy toolkit. Currently, in my faculty, we are trying to develop the impact strategy, and we had some questions regarding how, like, is this worth doing it? How are we going to implement it? How are we going to evaluate it? And lots of questions were answered from their toolkit, and they were so generous. As I said, they shared their toolkits and websites without hesitation, and they had so much resources that all of us can use. And also, I think Jen Lockett's Compass for collaborative objective mapping at Plymouth, that was very easy. And I was kind of like baffled, like how easy that is to, like, you can implement it anywhere. You can do it in workshop, you can do it in group settings. And we all are working with researchers, so we need these kind of practices and techniques. And one of the key, I mean, it's a simple thing, but I think that was really interesting to me because I wasn't aware of it. There was a session about, there was an open session where you can use that technique for workshops where somebody presents their question for 2 minutes and can't talk anymore after that. And then everyone in the group, who are like 5-6 people, have to give 1 minute answer and cannot talk more than that. That was brilliant because everyone has to say something. So that actually tempted people to say things from their practices and knowledge immediately. And actually that was really interesting, and we did solve some of the problems in our group. So I learned so many of these things, which we normally wouldn't talk in our networking events. We talk and share problems, but we don't necessarily go to solve them as far as that. So yeah, I did learn these things.
Yeah, brilliant. I'm glad you mentioned the kind of almost clinic style session that Tamika put us through, because I first experienced that at another conference, another impact focus conference in Dublin, and I got the people who did that session on the podcast. So if you're interested in finding out more about it, have a listen to that. I'll put the link in the show notes. Ali, what did you learn?
I think the biggest theme that sort of emerged for me from the 2 days was is around it's related to the community itself, but around knowing your value proposition. I think, you know, we're increasingly seeing a shift in a sort of a cultural shift around impact. And there's definitely an emphasis that impact, you know, it's not just a technical process. It very much is a culture. And if we're generally going to move beyond compliance and metrics and exercises such as the Research Excellence Framework that we have in the UK, then, you know, that requires genuine understanding and collaboration. And I suppose the other sort of key takeaway that I had was around that really resonated with me was around the importance of storytelling. You know, data alone doesn't drive change. It's stories that drives change. And so I think if we're able to articulate impact in a way that can resonate with different individuals, whether that's policymakers, funders and the like, then I think that's really how we're going to achieve the impact that we really strive for.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that we often laugh at policymakers for being influenced by those what can be quite anecdotal stories of, you know, constituent X, constituent Y, but actually it's those power stories, powerful stories about real people with the real problems really being solved, and that's, you know. People in the UK hate REF for having to produce the case studies, but actually the case studies make us think in that storytelling way, and actually have been a powerful tool, I think, to guard our sector in the UK from kind of some of the worst possibilities that could have happened with cuts from in terms of government funding. So, Andy, what about your...
Yeah, I think I attended many talks across the 2 days, and unfortunately I did miss out on a few of them, so that was a bit frustrating, I think, sometimes. But I think one of them I went to was by Saskia Gent about coaching techniques, and it really kind of helped me piece together how I can sit with a researcher and get as much out of them as I can in as little time as I can. Because as we all know, that the researchers are often quite time poor, and it's quite hard to get an hour in their diary. Whereas if I can get 30 minutes with them and get all of the information out of them as I can, which will help me, it helps them to articulate their thoughts clearer and quicker. I think it really kind of helped me put a bit of a plan in place as to when I'm meeting people individually, just getting as much information as them from them as possible, and giving as much information as I can to them about how they can sort of further their research and sort of either plan or develop the impact that they're going to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, it's a very powerful tool. I mean, Saskia has talked about it on a few webinars put together that I was part of, and, you know, there were lots of people talking about coaching tools within that space, and we've on the podcast itself, we've done a couple of things on how maybe to implement that, so I'll stick those in the show notes as well. So thanks for bringing that up, Andy. Alexa, anything from you in terms of what you learnt?
Yes, so on the one hand, it was really helpful, that international perspective, and it was mentioned, I think, by one of the colleagues from Germany, that the REF in the UK has a stick, that Research Excellence Framework exercise doesn't exist in Europe, for example. And on the one hand, it sort of leads to that it can be beneficial, because that is how we get to think about impact, the work, the research that we do. How is that beneficial to society, for society? On the other hand, it also, if you just flip it round, so why are we the outlier? You could also think of us as the outlier. Why does our government think that that is the best way to see the value of a university or the research that a university produces? So, you know, just kind of more questions. Why do we do this? I know we probably can't change this, but So that was this international perspective. And then the other thing was around also more on a meta level, just to see how people love meeting other people and be in the same space. I don't know whether there is still sort of post-COVID kind of thing of we have to talk to each other, or if it's what you said, Andy, earlier on, we may feel relatively isolated in our institutions. So we do enjoy meeting others who share then similar challenges. So this, I'm in this with other, I'm not alone with a particular issue, which leads me to sort of my last point, was that I am kind of, the grass isn't greener elsewhere whenever I think we are particularly bad at something. Not true at all. So I left actually being fairly proud of what we do at the university here. So so I think that's good enough for learning.
Good. I hope the Vice Chancellor is listening to that. And yes, absolutely. I think we've come a long way. I mean, you, Ruth, and I are kind of the longest standing, I guess, in our roles at Leeds. And when we started talking to each other in 2011, it was kind of like, it really did was a case of the blind leading the blind in terms of what's this impact thing and how do we do it and how do we engage with different sectors of the world outside of the university. And we all had slightly different roles. Yours was more commercialization than public engagement, wasn't it, at the time, kind of innovation space, Alexa, and Ruth's was kind of like trying to build partnerships, and actually all of those things need to happen for impact in different ways. So it's interesting how far we've come, and I think we do as an institution need to have a look at ourselves and go, we have come a long way, and it is way better than it was. There's always things that can be better, but you have to look at distance travelled as well. Okay, so third one, which is coming back to that community thing. What is it that we all want to see in terms of that global community? What kind of events do we want to have, or I want to push us all into events or all meeting together in some far-flung place? But how do we maintain that community feel across the global research impact community? Who wants to go first this time? Ali, go on.
I don't have any sort of answers around what's needed in terms of events or specific groups or organisations or that sort of thing. It's more, I guess, an idea around the community itself. So I think if we think about what allows us to generate impact from research, it's really about relationships. It requires things such as openness, trust, importantly, I think vulnerability as well. And I think this applies as much to research as growing the impact community itself. Universities, higher education is facing something of an existential challenge at the moment, I think. And there's a need for universities to have to adapt if they're going to survive. So the role of impact professionals in any change is going to have to be sort of reviewed and considered within that. I think universities are uniquely placed in terms of their ability to address some of society's most challenging problems. And so what's the role of impact professionals in allowing that to happen? I think they have an important bridging role between universities and the external environment, and they have a skill set that sort of supports different groups in terms of speaking a shared language. So I guess really it's something around what the community can do for advocating for any structural change or, allowing this community to continue to thrive and develop. It's around, can we engage in more meaningful conversations about, what universities can do to ensure that impact roles do remain within universities if they are required to sort of change in future years.
So kind of an advocacy type.
Exactly.
Anu, what's your thoughts on how the community should evolve?
I think I'm sorry if I repeat what Ali said as well somewhat. I think that sense of community, what we saw, and do we have a community just for impact globally? I know we have IRMA and we have a European version of IRMA. And because I think, I feel at least, impact kind of gets diluted with other things as well, and which are important. But especially I think in the UK, because of assessments such as REF, impact plays a key role in how and the ways in which research, academic research is, should be framed. So it is important for us to know and share global perspectives and global practices where we can improve how we approach impact. And also, I think I'd love to see a community, and we did see that at Impact Ignite, that share best practices and more openly, especially around innovation and research management, focusing impact, different kind of emerging technologies and other trends in research impact. It is difficult to organize meetings and these kind of events, but nowadays we have access for online tools and online platforms such as Teams and Zoom, and it all takes 1 or 2 hours of our time. So I think we need to come together for as a community share our practices, share our challenges, and addressing how we can improve our ways and how we show up to work in research impact in line with developments of the new world in new technologies and trends, because we'll have to keep up. That said, what I witnessed at the event was how open and supportive the community is. Regardless of the level of experience, you felt welcomed and so supportive. Everyone who's been in research impact for about 20, 25 years shared and told that, like, oh, when I joined the job, I felt exactly the same thing. To date, I'm still feeling these things. It was so beautiful to see all of these experiences. And I think we need to have these kind of sessions in person as well from time to time, because it actually inspires to see people and how to see how passionate they are about their work.
Yeah, thanks. I think, you know, from memory, I think there's only two organizations in the whole world that actually have research impact in the title, one of which is Advancing Research Impact in Society, which is a US organization. Can't remember which universities it's based at, and the other is Research Impact Canada. So actually, you know, North America kind of hogs the limelight for having organizations that are specifically about research impact, and where in the rest of the world it seems to be absorbed into the, you know, the research funding professional body, you know, in most other places. So Andy, what about you?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to end up repeating what other people have said, but having some of the something on Teams and something online would be very useful, especially in terms of like a global community kind of thing. But you're not able to sort of speak to other people as you are in person, I think, as Alexa alluded to earlier. In-person events really allow a lot more communication, a lot more connectivity between other professionals. So I think there's no right answer. As Ali said, there's huge challenges that are occurring within higher education at the moment. So it's quite difficult, I think, and I don't think there's going to be one correct answer, but having these open spaces for people to put their ideas out onto, and understanding that it's not a competitive area in terms of we're not fighting each other to sort of get everything out. It's where the research is already done, and we're really just trying to get people to say, this is what's happened, this is how the world can actually be made a better place, and try and push the collaboration is the way forward with all of that, kind of, to make it as big as possible.
Yeah, thanks for that, Andy. Alexa, you wanted to come in as well?
Yeah, I think people already touched a bit upon the point that I'd like to make. I don't think actually I would like the community to develop, because I don't think it's there yet. I don't think we have a community where we talk about research impact. I'm struggling with public engagement. I don't feel I have a home within the UK. There is the NCCPE, that's the National Coordinating Centre for Public Engagement, and they do run a conference once a year or every 2 years. And I keep up because I have personal contacts to peers in other universities, but I do that and nobody really helps me in bringing that community together. If I don't do that through my own self-interest, this is not happening. So, and also going back to my research days, when you do go to conferences and these are annual events, yes, it would be lovely to meet more often, but I do remember these in-person meetings so much more than any kind of online thing. Sorry, it's just how you experience these things. I also know that in terms of accessibility and financial constraints, obviously in-person meetings are difficult. So I think what Anu suggested in terms of some mixture would be really good. So I would really see the cultivation of impact professionals. I really want to see a move away from, there was this term, administrators of impact. I don't see us like that. So this is not us. So yeah, that's what I would love to see.
Brilliant, Ruth.
Yeah, so I completely agree with my colleagues. I think that this community is becoming more rather than less important. I think we've got the skills to really support the change that needs to happen, or the evolution of how we work. I think that collaboration and partnership, as both Ali and Andy were saying there, is, you know, at the heart of so many of our challenges. So, you know, the more we can collaborate and share practice, the more opportunities we have to do that, the more powerful we are as a community. So, yeah, again, in person, for me, that was fantastic. I think, you know, obviously it can't happen very regularly, but I think if we can do it at a reasonable interval somehow, that would be really beneficial to have all of those opportunities to connect. I think, I guess the other thing that I'd probably add in terms of the reflection on the community that was at the conference is that I think Tamika really invited quite a diverse set of attendees. You know, we had funders, we had policymakers, we had systems and service providers there. We had really kind of the whole ecosystem of research impact. And that was, I think that was the first time I've seen that happen. And I think that was really a beneficial approach to take. I think we all need to come together in that way. So yeah, I would definitely support more of the same.
More of the same. There you go. Right, Tamika, over to you.
Yeah. No pressure,
yeah,
Tamika.
Yeah, maybe she feels like she's done her bit for the moment. Okay, so final question, which is always the tough one. What's going to be the impact of the event for you? What are you going to do next with those pieces of learning and those highlights that you've come away with? So who wants to go first? Ali.
So I've got a couple of things. One's fairly straightforward. The other's, I suppose, a bit more aspirational. So I was fortunate enough to be able to present at the conference around a new fellowship scheme that we've just launched at the business school. Apologies for the plug, but there we go. So effectively, this is a policy to research fellowship scheme. And I think the combination of the questions asked after the presentation, the discussion with delegates afterwards, but also the solution circle session. So Anu briefly mentioned around this, but I use that as an opportunity again to I suppose, get some thoughts on some of the challenges that I've had in launching the scheme and how I can ultimately make it successful. So I've been given a lot of really great advice from the impact community on what I could consider in terms of trying to ensure it's successful. So some of which I've already implemented and with other things along the way. And I think the second thing is around something I'd like to do around strengthening partnerships. So given the strength of the community that was there, you know, I'd like to actively seek more collaboration with the impact community itself. I think it's something that currently I'm probably lacking in my own practice. So exploring opportunities for doing that, I think would be really exciting.
And do you want to put a shout out for anything you want to collaborate on with someone?
Not currently, unless people want to get involved in the policy fellowship. So any civil servants listening, then get in touch.
Brilliant. Anu?
Onwards and upwards, I think. but honestly, the conference was so inspiring for me because I get inspired seeing people. So it was so good to see the community as it is, and not just UK community and people from different countries as well. So I think it's very difficult, but I will try to find ways to keep in touch with this network until we have a dedicated platform for impact professionals. We do have a university network within the University of Leeds, and we have Northern Impact Network between the Northern universities. So we do have some kind of networks, establishing and growing. But I would like to see an island-wide or a global platform. I'll have to plug as well, because I am experimenting with AI and how to bring it to research impact, where I shared my practices and strategies in my talk at the conference. So I'm currently experimenting with AI and how it can shape research impact processes and practices. I had to mention that because of the feedback I got. I think Andy mentioned, because we work in so siloed in our faculties, because I work in a team, we call it a team, it's just two people, my manager, Sally, and I, and we can try so many things, we have so much potential, and we can test things, but if you only have limited number of people, it's 1 to 2 people access to talk about these things, we wouldn't know how other people's approaching things, what kind of challenges they are facing, and what kind of trouble we might be facing, a problem, and we might not know the solution is already there and someone's using it. So I got so much feedback and discussions. I learned how many other people are using or experimenting with emerging technologies and how other universities are trying to implement workflows in research impact and research management. In the long term, I think find ways to embed these approaches across my faculty and maybe eventually university-wide as well, and support better decision-making and elevate research impact culture, and understanding how this is a huge conversation about ethics of emerging technologies. So ethical practices and how we can have a sector-wide standard for ethical practices. So that is what I'm right now focusing on, will be for me for this foreseeable future. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks, Ruth. What are you doing next? How's it going to generate impact for you?
So I think the conference came at a really good time for me. And within our school, we're working on a new generation of approaches to build capacity and demystify different engagement processes. and also to increase opportunities for conversations around impact at all stages of the research cycle, right through from design through to evaluation. So I think the conference has really enabled me to enter this process with a new perspective and the opportunity to test models and learn from the practical findings of so many different colleagues across the sector, as others have said. I've also extended my network through the event and hope to stay in touch with those new connections. I think the conference highlighted the growing body of published materials and resources out there. So I'll definitely be looking out for those new publications coming out of this community. And I think through our impact network at the university, we have an active institutional community where we bring together impact professionals, research adjacent colleagues and academics to share learning and innovate. So I think we've got an ideal opportunity there within our own environment to support each other as we implement those new approaches and share our learning as we do so.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, Ruth. Andy?
Yeah, I think like a lot of people, it's connecting, reconnecting with some of the people that I met there, but also trying to expand my network. So as I mentioned earlier, I was talking to someone from NIHR that's part of the impact evaluation group there, and the discussions with him was around what it was that they were wanting in terms of reporting from centres and from research that's been funded. And it's how we effectively report impact that's happened. And as we know, the impact doesn't happen straight after the research. So it's how they would want stuff like that to be reported back to them, and it's trying to understand how other funders would also like that. So different funders obviously fund different types of research, and if it's earlier phase research, it's unlikely that the impact's not going to develop for, could be going on 15-20 years. So it's how they would like A, in the applications, and B, in the reporting, how they want it phrasing and how they want it understood, that people have thought about the impact, but they have no idea how to write about it in terms of planning for it, and the research is done, and where do they go next? So it's trying to understand how the funders are wanting these things reported to them, and if they're able to, in any way, support going forwards the academics that are completing the research and not sure where to go next.
Yeah, absolutely. And Alexa, final thoughts for you in terms of what you're applying and what the impact has been?
Well, actually, just before this recording, I have moved on with the work that I have presented at the conference. So I've already delivered basically how we could use public engagement data for some narratives in the REF. There and the feedback that I had at the conference, but also just now, was really encouraging in that. So so it is already moving on. The other thing that I take from it is this wonderful opportunity. What happens when you leave your comfort zone? Because going to this conference and presenting and talking to other people, it is outside comfort zone a bit. Actually, it works quite well. Go out more, talk more about the work that we are doing, get perspective. But at the same time, as I said before, I realized that we're actually quite good here. So the advocacy role that we can do and take for higher education institution or research at higher education institution, we can do that. And, you know, Leeds has a good story to tell. So I shall wave the flag.
Excellent. It's good to hear the final optimism in your statement there, Alexa. It's been lovely to get you all together this afternoon. It's a dark and gloomy January day to remember those days back in November when we were all together down in Southampton at that conference and having those amazing chats. So thank you for putting the time aside for this conversation. And if you'd like to say bye to the listeners, so if you, I'll count us down and we can all go. So 1, 2, 3, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Research Culture Uncovered podcast. Please subscribe so you never miss out on our brand new episodes. And if you're enjoying the discussions, give us some love by dropping a 5-star rating and written review, as it helps other research culturists find us. And please share with a friend and show them how to subscribe. Thanks for listening, and here's to you and your research culture.